Today begins the season of Advent, which is always a short season, but this year is particularly short, with the fourth Sunday of Advent actually falling on Christmas Eve. Over the next few weeks, we will hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Today, Isaiah is speaking on behalf of the people to God, not as a prophet usually speaks, which is on behalf of God to the people. We'll also hear about John the Baptist, who is often thought of as the last prophet in the line of Old Testament prophets, calling for God's people to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Hearing from John the Baptist during the season of Advent certainly makes sense, because this is a season of preparation, a time to ready ourselves for the inbreaking of God in our world in a very real way. In the story we know as the Christmas story, God came into the world in the form of a baby, a male child in first century Palestine. God came as one of us in a very specific way, in a very specific time and place. This was not a random act, nor a whim of God. Every aspect of God's incarnation has deep meaning. In Christ, God is showing us God's true self. Jesus is God's self-revelation to us, and God's first act of self-revelation in Jesus is an act of utter humility. God entered into the world as an infant, totally dependent on others to assure his survival and care. God depended on his creatures for his survival. The first sign of God and from God is humility and dependence on others. It is in this season of Advent that we prepare for the return of God, of Jesus, into the world. And we are told that the return of Christ will not be a repeat in any way of the infant birth in a manger. In the Gospel of Mark, we hear that the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And I'm sure that New Testament scholars could easily clarify for us exactly what this will look like, but all I can say with any certainty is that things will be very different when Jesus returns, and that all the cosmos, things seen and unseen, known and unknown, will be affected. Most importantly, we are told to keep awake, not to be lackadaisical in our preparation for Christ's return, not to disregard this as mere fantastical thinking, something that will not happen, but to prepare to keep awake. We take time during Advent to once again prepare for the day of Christ's return. That is our hope, that God will come among us again and right all the wrongs, correct the injustices, remold the world as God created it to be. Isaiah gives voice to this hope as he speaks for the people, begging for God to return them into right relationship with God. And we can still echo those words today when our world seems so very far from what lay theologian Bernard Dozier called the dream of God. Hear again the words of Isaiah, spoken to God. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There's no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. You are the clay, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We're all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Did you notice in this passage that Isaiah is so comfortable in his relationship with God that he has no hesitation in holding God accountable? But you were angry, and so we sinned. You hid yourself, and we transgressed. It's your fault, God. Isaiah seems to say that, but then the prophet realizes that even when God seems absent, God is still working to return the people to a right relationship with God. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are the work of your hand. Isaiah begs God not to be angry or to remember the people's sins forever, but to remember that we are all God's people. Isaiah's hope is on God's mercy and God's active involvement in the lives of all his people. And that is our hope too, now in this season, as we are particularly attentive and focused on the return of Christ, and not just in this season, but always. The world outside is already in full Christmas mode. There are advertisements upon advertisements luring us in any number of ways to wish from anything from luxury cars to restored family relationships, which apparently come from having luxury cars. We are continually bombarded with information that tells us that we should be hoping for is more material goods. The material things, brighter and bigger and shinier and more expensive, will fulfill our lives and bring us the completeness and happiness for which we all yearn. And if that is truly our hope, as St. Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthians, we are, of all people, the most to be pitied. If we continue to place our hope and dreams on things and people, we will continue to find ourselves unhappy and disappointed. People and things cannot fulfill that for which our soul longs, because our soul longs for God. To be in relationship with the one who created the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is therein. The one who created us and longs to be in relationship with us. The one who can make all things right. No person, no thing can restore our heart, our souls, or our world. Only God, Jesus, breaking in, can restore this world to look like God's dream for the world. That is our hope. Again, the words of St. Paul remind us of our Christian hope, this time in his letter to the Romans. Hope is that which is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what is seen? But if we hope in what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Lord, we've gone astray again. We've put all our hope on ourselves. We have forgotten that all our hope is founded on you, that only you can restore us. Remold our hearts, Lord. Restore us to the image in which we were made. And come among us once again. Amen.